and welcome to A Court of Three Strands, the Palatine Institute's podcast on creating Christian culture.
Through this show, we hope to provide a resource of education and encouragement for students, parents, and leaders about the revival of Christian values in our community.
On A Court of Three Strands, we'll focus on the three foundational strands that make a strong, flourishing Christian culture: the church, the family, and education. We desire to order these things around God's word to advance Christ's kingdom and so glorify him and bless our community. My name is Ron Young, former headmaster at Providence Academy and founder of the Palatine Institute.
And I'm Allison Tuttle, a wife and mother and the director of the Palatine Institute.
Through our conversations, we look forward to sharing fellowship knowledge and practical wisdom for his glory here on A Court of Three Strands podcast.
Without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to A Court of Three Strands, the Palatine Institute's podcast on creating Christian culture. Today, we are recording episode 9 of season 8. This season, just as a reminder, is entitled Feasting, and today we are planning to discuss feasting and proper nostalgia.
Yes, and welcome back, Allison.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We've had a little bit of absence, and I know everyone's sick of hearing my voice all the time.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, we'll see.
We've had an interlude. It's been a busy season. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So feasting and proper nostalgia. And I kind of want to talk about this because a lot of times we talk about feasting. I mean, let's just take Christmas, for instance. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it feels like what's going on is more of family time and remembering, you know, there's this good feelings, right?
And, yes.
And a longing for, you know, the family to be back together and those types of things. Mm-hmm. And where that's not, that in and of itself isn't bad, it can be an indicator that we're missing the point.
Yeah, it sort of falls short or is a little bit empty.
Yeah. So we talk about from Wikipedia, the expert source that
we all use.
Okay. It was just for convenience because it's like, you know, you have this idea, I know what I want to talk about, and you're like quickly, oh, shoot, we're going to record this soon. I should just check on here. And I just saw Wikipedia.
What did they say? Yeah.
Sentimentality, the idea of sentimentality, originally indicated the reliance on feelings as a guide to truth. But in current usage, the term commonly connotes a reliance on shallow, uncomplicated emotions at the expense of reason. And I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Right? So the sentimentalness of Christmas, say, as we were just talking about it, that we're not really thinking about reason or about the truth of it or about it. It's just reliance upon this emotion of what it's meant to us, you know, childhood memories or things like that, or the having the family back together. And I'll just put it this way. There are a lot of people, and I'd bet even in our audience, where when you think of things like Christmas, you don't have good memories, right? You know, I'm a big John Denver fan, and I have his Christmas album. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things I like to listen to at Christmas. But, you know, one of them is, one of the songs he sings is, "Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see Mama cry," right? And for a lot of people, when you think of things like holidays or these special days, that's their memory. Mm-hmm. It's not a fond longing.
There's sadness.
It's a sadness. It's bad. In fact, nostalgia, which is kind of a weird thing. Nostalgia is a kind of sentimentality, and it has to do with longing. It comes from a compound Greek words, nostos, which means return, literally homecoming. You think of all the Greek stories of return. Those were the nostoi, the return stories. The Odyssey is the return of Odysseus. Aeschylus's play Agamemnon is the return of Agamemnon from the Trojan War. But it's this idea of homecoming. And then it's combined with another Greek word, algos, which is sorrow or pain. And so the idea of nostalgia, which is a more recent term in English history, has this idea of a longing for home,
I think it was
coined during a war, I think, mm-hmm. and the experience, I think psychologists or something were trying to label particular emotion that soldiers had away from home, this homesickness, you might say, but this longing for home. So in our day, I think nostalgia has, that's what we usually think about is this longing for home or a longing for something of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it's not necessarily bad. Like think of being off to college, you know, you're away from home for the first time and sometimes you get this homesickness.
Yeah.
You know, you're away from that, which is familiar, which is, you know, away from your support or your, and, you know, sometimes the homesickness can get, is bad. It's preventing you from living your life. And other times it's good. It's giving you that, that longing for home. And so you can't wait until it's this anticipation until you return and it's good. So what I want to argue is that feasting properly done is not sentimentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nostalgia in the negative sense of, you know, oh, I can't wait for next Christmas because I get to be home again, or I get to be with other, you know, these things I associate with Christmas, you know, the food, the smells, which I love all of it.
Yeah, none of those things are bad.
None of those things are bad.
Yeah.
But what we're wanting from feasting is this, the all this goodness is pointing us towards something beyond ourselves.
Right. Like there's some level of transcendence in those longings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a longing for Christ and his kingdom.
Yeah.
It's returning for, it's a longing for a return home, but knowing that our home is not here.
Right.
A longing for Christ's return.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sense that we want to get from our feasting.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're celebrating Christmas, right, it's the incarnation of our Lord, and the gospel starts with that, this announcement of our Savior's birth. And so we want to enjoy the celebration of that event with our families, with our friends, with our church, and enjoy the good food and the good smells and all those things that we love, as long as it's pointing us towards this Savior of ours.
Yeah, the truer end.
The truer end.
Yeah.
As because of what he has done, we will be united to him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea.
Yes.
So when we think of, and you know, you weren't here, Allison, for these, but in my wonderful talks on Holy Week and, you know, Lent and Easter and all. No, you were here for Lent. We talked about Lent together, didn't we?
I think so.
I don't remember. Epiphany.
Yeah, maybe it was Epiphany that we did.
Okay.
Sorry,
I did Lent, Holy Week.
I think Easter, you did.
That's a lot of me. Sorry, everyone.
It's okay.
Okay, here we go. But the, you know, but even Good Friday, right? We in that just talking about the suffering of our Lord and a reminder, you know, from Ash Wednesday on, this idea of our humanity, mm-hmm. and to ashes we'll go. You know, from dust we were dust, and to dust we'll go.
Yep.
The suffering of Christ on the cross for our sin. The agony, you know, that he had. These things remind us of our mortality and our sinfulness, even in our state now. Even though he has justified us, even though we are in the process of being sanctified, we still have this struggle with sin. And even a Good Friday helps us to long for that day when the struggle's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's He says it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
And we can revel in that. And even though the day of commemorating that is filled with sorrow, there's also a joy and a longing for home in the future.
Yeah.
And of course, Easter, the celebration, the goodness, again, more good food, more good smells, if I'm not sneezing from the lilies, but, you know, there's just this joy and an amazement, and it reminds us that we too will be raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Our loved ones will be raised from the dead. We will be reunited, and it makes us to long for.
Yeah. What's coming. Yeah.
So
it seems like, I mean, this is maybe stating the obvious, but really, like, all of life, the purpose of everything that God has created is for those things, right? Yeah. To point us toward our truer home.
Yes.
Or our true home.
Yes. Now let me just address real quick how the party poopers behind many pulpits try to make it sound like if anything joy is really coming from something,
must be bad.
It must be bad.
Yeah.
Right.
We shouldn't be happy about really anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just crazy to me. We talked about how sometimes you'll hear sermons or people talking about the busyness in Advent and making us feel guilty for not, I guess, I don't know what. Like enjoying Christmas when it's not even Christmas yet. We're preparing and that.
Yeah, not like focusing enough on Jesus.
What we're actually doing is good and holy because we're preparing.
Yeah, to celebrate.
To celebrate.
The birth of our Savior.
Yeah, there's preparation and then feasting. And yeah, if we were busy and through all the hubbub when we're supposed to be celebrating, that would be something. But that's we're doing actual preparation for a feast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So. But then, you know, for feasting, it's like the Jesus talked about, you know, talk about John the Baptist and, you know, what did you think he was? You know, did you go out to the desert to find someone in fine robes? No, like he's a prophet, mm-hmm. you know, and he goes and he talks about this idea of, you know, John came neither eating or drinking. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you accused him of, you know, being too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come eating and drinking and you're accusing me, Jesus, as being a drunkard.
Yeah, and a glutton.
And a glutton, a glutton and a drunkard. And you know, no one's...
You can't win.
You can't win.
Yeah.
You know, and here's what I want to release us all towards is this, is the depths of joy that we can have in feasting and commemorating the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and his sending of us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We cannot exhaust the amount of joy that all this points to.
Yeah, and is available to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So no matter how joyful that celebration is, it's going to pale in comparison to the future.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't me saying, oh, we should go sin.
No.
Right? But we should cause eyebrows to be raised.
We should throw good parties.
We should go throw great parties.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And if we're not, you know, if... I know that something's appropriate about the time my wife is raising her eyebrow going, really, Ron? Right? Mm-hmm. That's the level. That's the level.
You know, you've arrived.
That's where we should be at, right? You know, it's joyful. It's good. It's and revel in it and eat the food, the king's cake, eat the pies, eat the good food, drink the good wine, and enjoy each other and laugh and all in remembrance of what Christ has done and looking forward to it. And then when we leave and when we're waiting again in ordinary time, we're left with this longing, right? Not disappointment. Okay. Now I'm going to bring this back. sentimentality, you know, as if it's just this emotion that we're trying to gain.
Yeah. Return to. Or
return to this emotion.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember when I was a kid and how great Christmas is, but, you know, I just want to return to that. Well, it's never going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you yourself, you're an adult now, you got all these kids, and they're going to, you know, there's some busyness, you're never going to, maybe when they get to bed, you can enjoy it, you know, but you're going to miss it. You're going to, because what you're looking for is a return to some sort of sentiment that you had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to leave you disappointed. Or if you think it's about what I'm getting, you know, at Christmas, or how people are going to acknowledge the food I prepared, or the gifts that I made, or the sacrifices I did so our family can have this time together, it's always going to be a disappointment.
Yep.
So sentimentality is a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It just always will be.
Yep.
But the kind of proper nostalgia that is like, we're having this joyful time together, no matter what our expectations were. You know, it's because here's the thing, the expectation is we're going to celebrate what Christ has done.
Right.
And that'll never disappoint.
Right.
Right. Our expectation is to celebrate that Jesus was born, mm-hmm. or that Jesus died, or that Jesus rose again, or that Jesus ascended to heaven, or like none of those things will ever disappoint us if the focus is on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we allow ourselves to celebrate in those appropriate ways, it's always going to be filled with joy.
Yep.
And it'll never be disappointing. And so then when we leave from that and we're longing, we understand that we've tasted a glimpse.
Yep.
Right? Think of this. Maundy Thursday, it's we talked about this in Holy Week. One of the things that Jesus does is he establishes the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. And it's a way to interpret his death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in the context of Passover meal to show that he's the Passover lamb to be slain. He's right. Mm-hmm. His death is going to be the atoning sacrifice. His death is not an accident. It's all planned. It's all prepared. And he interprets it for us before he dies. And at the end, after the meal, you know, he washes the feet of the disciples. They have the meal. He institutes the supper, and then he teaches a lot. Like, you know, especially in John, you read all the discourse really about love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. And he says at the end of the feast, he says, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, like how, so they're leaving the feast with that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they sing some psalms, which is also, we ought to be doing too.
Mm-hmm.
And they sing some psalms, they go out, and man, just think of that, about the disciples after Jesus is then executed on the cross and they're hiding, and then Jesus shows up. And how the emotion that must go for that. And then from then on, them gathering together on the first day of the week to commemorate his resurrection,
mm-hmm.
and to break bread, right? To remember this is Christ's body broken for us or given for us. This is his blood shed for us. Mm-hmm. And then to remember, you know, someday
yep.
we'll be together. Mm-hmm. Drinking this anew with him in the kingdom. How, like, that is, you know, leave it to Jesus to show us how it's done, right?
Yeah.
So that we long for communion with him. And as we commune with him here, with each other, this is a foretaste
mm-hmm.
of glory divine.
Yeah.
And so we long not backwards, but forwards for to be with him
mm-hmm.
and his kingdom. That's the idea.
And it has been the pattern
yeah.
since the beginning of time.
It has been.
Yeah.
It has been. And, so I think there's a few things that we can do as we celebrate feasts, whether it be in our churches or as families and friends gathering together, I think one is that we should never divorce our time of gathering and eating and celebrating. We shouldn't separate that from the liturgy, from the worship, right? And if it happens to be, you know, like our church, we typically celebrate Christmas on the eve, Christmas Eve, right? So, so if you're feasting and your celebration for Christmas is the next day, is on Christmas Day, make a connection with the liturgy, you know, sing maybe one of those songs, to pray beforehand, to read the story, to do so that there's, so we're connected to the worship of our Lord and that connection to it. And then, and second is that to make it some sort of, that it ends with that too, right? That there's some way in which we're formally ending with kind of blessing and with this longing for until we meet again, right? With and especially with the Lord. I think those kinds of things help us to remind ourselves of why we're celebrating in the first place, and also gives us that leaving with the idea of we'll do this again. And that it's long, and this is just a glimpse of
what's to come.
Yep. Yeah. Even a toast or a raising your glass, to remember Christ and what he's done, and to remember that we'll celebrate with him when he returns. And I love the phrase Maranatha, which is come, right? Lord come. And so I like to pray at the end when it's there, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come soon. And that should be kind of that, the thing that gets us as we're ending, that desire for his return to be. So that's just a few hints. And there's other things that could be done, but I think at minimum, just make sure there's the connection with the worship.
Yeah.
And to have opportunity to sing or to, you know, read the story, to sing, to pray, to bless, to, you know, those things are crucial.
Yeah, because as a people, we are just naturally forgetful.
Yeah.
And we need to remind ourselves.
Yeah.
Again and again.
Again and again. And then make it, just make it good. And I'm not saying, like, I'm just thinking through, like, if say you got a Christmas gathering and you got one of your, you know, aunt and uncle or a cousin or a brother or sister, they have to leave, right? And everyone else is still there. You know, I'm not saying that you got to wait until the very last person's going to leave your house and then do that thing. I'm saying, make it like, hey, another good, let's gather everyone together. And I just say that. And then from there on, it's just bonus.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yeah, bookend the time.
Yeah. The other part, and just when we start viewing feasting like this and these things like Christmas, which is probably the big one, or Thanksgiving, when we're focusing on the Lord and not on that, on the sentimental feeling about it, it provides a way in which people who have bad memories of those things can heal. It can redeem it.
Yeah. Yep. Participate in a new way.
In a new way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rather than avoidance.
Right.
Right. Which happens sometimes. People would rather not have any of those memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we would try to do is let's produce new ones and produce a longing for the future and not for the past.
Yep.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. That's good.
All right. Awesome. It's been good having you back.
Thanks. It's good to be back. Thanks for listening.